This is the Jon Favreau is My Daddy podcast with Jessica Garcia and Monica Montoya.
Good morning.
Good morning, Catholic.
We just had a really riveting conversation about my Catholic schooling experience.
I wouldn't call it riveting so much as me being absolutely terrified at traumatic events that happened to you and you just laughing about them.
I would call terror riveting.
You know, that time you got blindfolded and made to walk as Jesus does.
You know, it really put me in his shoes.
Or lack of shoes, because you're probably barefoot.
He was barefoot. They didn't go that far.
I'm confused. But they threw things at you.
They did throw things and like shout in our ears and things like that. It was, you know, my schooling is what? Questionable. I'm very thankful for the education that I got. But, you know, those religious retreats were a little much. Not going to lie. How are you, Monica?
I'm well. I'm sipping my second cup of coffee of the morning.
Well, I'm sipping my first. Oh, and well, only.
Yeah, I hear your stomach can't handle it.
You know, caffeine or coffee, just it really just fucks things up, you know?
Does it just go right through you?
Truly. I didn't really want to say that, but...
You know, when I was a wee lad and someone was like, oh, it just goes right through me. I literally imagined it like you drinking the thing or eating the thing and it just like fucking goes right through you.
Did you have the same thought with the expression in one ear and out the other?
Yes!
Where it just goes like a straight line right through your head?
I had no concept of like how the digestive system worked. I literally just thought like, oh, it's just one long tube that runs all the way down through your, like, I guess, colon butthole situation.
Yeah, your colon butthole situation. You heard it here first, everyone. That's all your GI tract is.
GI Joe.
Wow. We're off. So today, Monica.
Yeah.
We're talking about a very exciting daddy, an America sweetheart daddy.
America sweetheart, you say?
Yes.
Whom?
We've done an America sweetheart before. We did, yeah. Sandy Bullock.
Sandy B.
And when we were choosing her, we were like, we need someone who's like a Julia Roberts type, but who isn't Julia Roberts, because we're not ready to do Julia Roberts
yet. Are we ready now?
We are ready now.
We are ready, Freddy, to ready. Do Julia Fiona Roberts.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Ms. Julia.
Ms. Roberts.
Julia Fiona Roberts is an American actress and
producer. No, please keep doing it.
You want to do the whole thing?
Yes.
Julia Fiona Roberts is an American actress and producer. She has won 3 Golden Globe Awards from 8 nominations and has been nominated for 4 Academy Awards.
You sound like a BAFTA announcer.
Good.
Hire keep going, me. Keep going.
4 Academy Awards for her film acting, winning the Academy Award for Best Actress for her performance in Erin Brockovich. Julia is a prime daddy with the charisma of a walrus in a top hat smoking a cigar. She is a literal daddy to 3 small children. I want everyone to know Monica wrote that bio.
I did write that bio.
I did write that. Oh, wow. What a daddy.
Listen,
I love her.
Julia Roberts has this like insanely infectious smile.
Yeah, I love her in her big mouth.
When she like opens her enormous jaw.
When she unhinges those big old teeth.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's when you know the movie's going to make money.
That's when
money.
We're in business.
We're in Julia Fiona Roberts territory. Speaking of Julia Fiona Roberts.
Yes.
What's the movie that you think of when you think of Julia Fiona Roberts?
That's a hard question. I think about, she's been in so much. I mean, I think of Pretty Woman.
I was going to say, there's only one right answer. There's supposed to be a very seamless transition, but here you are fucking up my life.
Ask me the question again.
I forgot the question.
What movie do you think of when you think of Julia Roberts?
Okay. What movie do you think of when you think of Julia Roberts?
Pretty Woman, obviously.
Wow. Okay. Transition. A little bit on Pretty Women. Woman. I keep saying, I always
pretty
keep saying.
Pretty women.
Pretty women. Dancing. Sipping coffee.
That's a little Sweeney Todd joke for you theater kids out there.
Pretty woman. Pretty woman. Pretty woman.
I'm just waiting for you to get to the film. Monica's off the rails.
Pretty Woman, 1990, directed by Gary Marshall, screenplay by J.F. Lawton. In this modern update on Cinderella, a sex worker and a wealthy businessman fall hard for one another, forming an unlikely pair. While on a business trip in L.A., Edward, played by Richard Gere, who makes a living buying and breaking up companies, picks up a sex worker named Vivian on a whim. After Edward hires Vivian to stay with him for the weekend, the two get closer, only to discover that there are significant hurdles to overcome as they try to bridge the gap between their very different worlds.
Mm-hmm, pretty woman.
Walking down the street, pretty woman. Wanna get something to eat, pretty woman.
She's hungry. She don't got
She's
no money.
Hungry. She's so broke.
I love this movie. When I first saw this movie, I was like, meh, it's fine. Like, I mean, it was like good and funny. I was a kid also, okay, so like I didn't understand it. And then as I got older, I rewatched it and I was like, this is a fucking movie.
It's a banger.
Yeah, this is a movie.
That's a movie-ass movie.
It's also a really, really smart movie. Like, it opens, literally the opening shot is someone saying the line, "It's all about money."
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, so that's what this entire movie is about.
Yep.
Like, he does a great, Gary Marshall does a great job of, like, really setting it up from the get-go about, like, what all of the trials in this movie are going to be.
Absolutely. The first kind of, like, shot of Julia Roberts is very, it's, like, very, like, male gaze. She's, like,
yeah.
She's, like, lying on her side conveniently.
I mean, you don't see her face for quite a while.
You don't see her face at all. You see literally her black lacy underwear,
mm-hmm.
and the camera, like, pans, like, up her body, and her then you body, don't see yaddy, her yaddy. Face.
She's
yes, her body, oddy, oddy. and you see nothing. And then she's getting ready, you're sort of like piecing together kind of like who she is in this really shitty like apartment. And like she's like safety pinning together her boots and like she's got like a really shitty dress and like
a shitty wig. Yeah.
And she sort of like kind of struts out and sees the landlord at the bottom of the stairs, and he's obviously like trying to collect rent. She goes back upstairs. She's like, oh shit, I don't have any money. So she escapes at the fucking fire escape.
Yeah.
So if that isn't Cinderella, I don't know what is.
That is the exact Cinderella story I was told as a child. I like, though, that like you don't see what she actually looks like. You don't see her real hair mm-hmm. at the beginning. So like you don't see her put on a wig, but you know it's a wig.
Yes.
And so you just are presented with like the version of Vivian that she wants to present to
the world.
Mm-hmm. That's what the audience sees, which I love. And then later on, like quite a bit later on, you see what she actually looks like. And it's kind of this like, it's not a big reveal, but it is in a way.
It's significant.
It's a significant reveal because you really like, it's like she's been like stripped down.
Yeah.
And I also think that that comes with like a shift in her acting where she's like now kind of nervous that she can't hide behind these other things.
Absolutely.
And she seems like a more like nervous young girl. And it's just, she does like such a lovely job with so many different parts of this role.
Yeah. She plays an incredibly good, like trashy gal
mm-hmm.
from Georgia who knows how to drive a stick shift.
Yes.
But she also has like a very vulnerable side that I love. I love when Julia Roberts like brings this out in a character because it's very small and quiet. And like she has, Julia Roberts has such an incredible voice.
Yeah.
Like the way she speaks is so, like her words kind of hang in the air a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And she has such a soft voice and it's so lovely. Like it's just beautiful to listen to.
Yeah.
So when she plays like a nervous character or a character that's insecure or like unsure of themselves, it's almost soothing in a way, like as an audience member to watch her be like nervous or insecure, like as if you're watching a child be nervous or insecure. Mm-hmm. Like it's very naive and vulnerable and fun. And like she has a very specific way of bringing that out in a character.
No, I totally agree. like she was 22 when they or when this movie came out, so
which is crazy because she looks
probably 21 when they filmed it. And Richard Gere was 40, which that's an age gap. But I mean, like, he's hot, she's of age. I personally don't give a shit. But yeah, she was like super young. This is one of her first like huge roles. And you can see, like, even though the character of Vivian has some moments where you can tell she's, like, not feeling totally, like, confident or secure, you can also see that, like, Julia Roberts herself is a little nervous and, like, young and giddy as a young actress acting alongside fucking Richard Gere.
Absolutely.
And I was reading that apparently when they shot the sex scenes that she was, like, so nervous she was breaking out in hives and Gary Marshall had to, like, rub her with lotion to get her to calm down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because she like couldn't, she was freaking out so badly. And I love that you get to see a little bit of like real Julia Roberts as a 21, 22 year old freaking out about this role in the actual role.
Yeah, I love how I see beyond the character anytime that Julia Roberts laughs.
Yeah.
Because you can tell that it's just pure joy.
Yeah.
And it's just coming from her, which I think is a good thing. Like a lot of people would probably be like, oh, she's breaking character a little bit, because you actually really do see glimpses of Julia Roberts, especially when she laughs. And I just think that that brings so much honesty to the role, because I mean, while Julia Roberts is not a sex worker
in real life, what
the character in the film has a lot of, I'm sure, things that a lot of like women her age can relate to.
Sure.
Insecurity, not really knowing like where you're supposed to be in life, feeling like you've disappointed people, feeling like you're not, you know, you're not at the same level as everyone else, feeling othered. Like these are all things people can relate to, and Julia Roberts does a beautiful job of being really honest about that, because this is, you know, she's so new, and this is a very scary role. I mean, I can't imagine being that age and acting up against this incredibly seasoned and famous actor with an incredibly famous and seasoned director on this project. And I just can't imagine how scary that must be. So to see just a little bit of that peeking through is like,
no, so totally tasty. She's really incredible in this, and it helps that she has such ridiculous chemistry with Richard Gere.
Oh yeah, baby.
Like it's
poisonous.
It's pretty steamy.
It's crazy
up in there. They're so good together. I just really like how nuanced this performance is and how it shifts very fluidly, like through the various moods that the film goes through.
Right.
I love how you get to see her personal shift between like Vivian the sex worker and Vivian just like
the person,
Vivian the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's a sex worker, when she's wearing her wig and her dress and everything, she's very like tough. Like she's fucking tough as nails. No nonsense. Like she's basically like putting on a show in front of everyone in the hotel because mm-hmm. she just like doesn't give a shit. But it's only when she's actually like herself and trying to be a genuine person, and then people also judge her, then that's mm-hmm. when she gets like actually upset. Hurt.
Like when she goes into the store, yeah. and she's just being herself.
Exactly.
She's not necessarily like trying to pick anyone up. She's just trying to buy clothes.
No.
And she's truly being who she is, mm-hmm. and she gets scorned for that.
Yeah.
And you can tell how much that really, really hurts her feelings and like bulldozes through her walls, because she has such a tough exterior. Mm-hmm. But when, like you said, when people judge who she actually is, that's when she breaks down.
Yeah.
But she could care less if people judge the person in the wig.
Yeah. She doesn't give a shit that people look down at her for being a sex worker. But when they look down on her for being herself, then she's like actually upset, and you can tell that like her confidence isn't fully there despite the fact that she's like an insanely beautiful woman. I also like, I think that they do that, she has this like disconnect between who she is as a sex worker and who she is as herself, mm-hmm. and like between wearing the wig and dressing up, etc., because she doesn't want to like link her true self to her work.
Right.
I think it's almost like dissociative in a way.
Yeah, almost. I mean, you can totally see like the differences between her,
mm-hmm.
Vivian, and her friend, who's also a sex worker,
yeah.
whose name escapes me.
Kit.
Kit. you can totally see the differences between Kit and Vivian, because Kit is incredibly sure of herself.
Yeah.
And is like, this is who I am. Being a sex worker is very much like me. Like, we are interchangeable. It's not that this is something that I have to put on in order to, like, protect myself, or to, like, this is my job and, like, this is me. Like, those are separate things. Like, those are very much the same.
Yeah.
And she's the same person kind of through and through. And you can just see how big of a difference it is between Kit and Vivian, where Vivian sort of, like, not that you have to play a part to be a sex worker, but, like, some people use it as, like, more of a coping mechanism to sort of, like, get through the kind of work that they have to do.
Yeah, no, totally.
And I think that Vivian still has an enormous disconnect, like you said, between herself, the person, and herself, the sex worker, who's obviously also a person, but more of a, I think she keeps that distance in order to sort of, like, cope with it.
Yeah, I do think it's pretty intentional. Mm-hmm. And I think Julia Roberts made it clear that it was intentional with her acting. I just think that I think Vivian is such a special character that, and I think that this movie in general doesn't get enough attention for being, like, real and telling like a real intense story. I think people are just like, it's Pretty Woman,
it's a chick flick.
And in turn, I don't think her performance gets enough attention. I mean, she was nominated for an Oscar
I know
for this movie, but I still don't think people consider it to be, you know, highbrow.
Right And I guess what's so funny is that I think with stories like this, it's really hard because they're not highbrow.
Sure.
They're pretty relatable stories, and, like, with, like, the babyest touch of, like, fantasy or, like, Hollywood drama. Mm-hmm. And then I think when people see or watch stories like these, they don't necessarily consider them to be, you know, the cream of the crop. Even if you have incredible actors.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I'm thinking about specifically Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
In Something's Gotta Give. And that movie in and of itself is not necessarily a highbrow film.
No.
But the actors bring something incredible to it, and it ends up being a really lovely story.
Yeah.
But anyway, I kind of relate this to that a little bit, because it makes me think, like, well, no one's really going to give, like, this kind of, like, Cinderella love story a second look.
Yeah.
Especially now. I think that when people think about Pretty Women, they really do consider it to be, like, a rom-com versus anything else.
Yeah, I think there is something to the very, very, very ending. I think that this movie could have gotten more critical acclaim.
Right.
If it hadn't been such, like, a frankly cheesy, like, very last ending scene. I love that they ended up together, because I think that some people think of this movie and they're like, oh, he just, of course, he saves the sex worker, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, no, they really, like, save each other.
They bring out really incredible qualities in each other that the other one desperately needs to, like, become a whole person.
Exactly. And that's what the ending tries to say, but it says it quite literally.
And very loudly.
Yeah, because Richard Gere is like, and then he saved the princess. What happens next? And she goes, and she saves him right back. And she says it just like that.
Very cheesily.
And then the movie ends.
Well, it's, you know what's so funny is you can't, as an actor, not say that line cheesily.
I don't blame her. What after, I'm saying is that ending needed to exactly. be written a little bit more nuanced-y.
Richard Gere showing up, sticking out of, like, the moonroof of his limo.
Yeah.
It really just, and all the birds around him, and it just, at the end of the day, it was what it was, and we just had to accept it for what it was, and that's that.
So apparently they hadn't written the ending until, like, part of the way through filming, and I think it really shows, personally.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I think...
And she saved him right back.
Kiss the end. Also, that kiss at the end, what an ugly angle to shoot from.
That was pretty ugly.
Like, behind Richard Gere's head is kind of a low angle, and you just see Julia Roberts' mouth, like... contorting.
I would say it was, like, gaping.
Yeah, it was... The ending of Pretty Woman, I think we should redo, except for the only thing I will say is I love the man who's at the beginning and the end of that movie, who just walks around Hollywood saying, welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream? Everybody's got a dream. I love that guy.
He reminds me of the Firefly in Princess and the Frog. My name is Remo, but you can call me Ray. What do you want to do, love? What's your dream?
They're very, very similar. Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream?
Welcome to the Bayou. What's your dream?
Oh, boy.
It's funny.
But Pretty Woman's a great movie.
Pretty Woman gives me happy marshmallows in my stomach.
Yeah, and Jason Alexander plays a villain in this movie, which...
A villain.
Very unexpected, but he's really great at being a big asshole.
Yeah, and when he beats up Julia Roberts.
Yeah, when he smacks her right across the face.
That's messed up. I believed it.
I also believed it.
Richard Gere gave a very compelling scream.
Yes, and threw him. He was like, I love that his character's name is Stucky.
Yeah, what the
well,
fuck?
Well, that's his last name. Yeah. But still.
Still.
What a name.
What a name. What's in a name, do you say? He's a stuck man. A man stuck in his ways.
Honestly. Well, that was Pretty Woman.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing else to say other than the fact that Julia Roberts is this was an incredible role for her.
She's like so sparkly and
that's a great word. That's a great word to describe her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sparkly. She's sparkly.
Yeah, she opens her mouth and you can't help but go, hey, back.
You can't help but unhinge your own jaw right back at her. Hey. Like a big snake getting ready for its food.
You can't help but do that.
It's true. It's true.
Unhinge the jaw like Julia.
So now we're going to move to exactly 10 years later.
10 years later.
10 years later. Two. The big boy for her Oscar win, Aaron Brockovich, came out in 2000, directed by Steven Soderbergh, screenplay by Susanna Grant. Aaron Brockovich, played by Julie Roberts, is a woman in a tight spot.
In a tight spot!
Following a car accident in which Aaron is not at fault, Aaron pleads with her attorney, Ed Masri, played by Albert Finney. I love him.
I know this is a Julia Roberts episode.
I love Albert
three
Finney.
3 seconds just to... He's so incredible.
He's so good.
And he's just such a brilliant guy. Mm-hmm. Like, just massive kisses and
hugs.
We
love you, Albert Finney.
X's and O's to Mr. Albert Finney.
So she pleads with her attorney, Ed Masri, Albert Finney, to hire her at his law firm. Aaron stumbles upon some medical records placed in real estate files, and she convinces Ed to allow her to investigate, where she discovers a cover-up involving contaminated water in a local community, which is causing devastating illnesses amongst its residents.
Oh.
Residents.
It reminds me of that movie Dark Water.
I haven't seen that film.
Mark Ruffalo. He plays like a corporate lawyer, defense lawyer, and he like prosecutes corporations now because they poisoning their people with the water.
With the water?
With the poison water. The water that has
the water.
The poison. And the people drink it and they get lymphoma.
Someone's poisoned the water hole.
Someone's poisoned the water hole.
Anyway, so Aaron Brockovich.
The log line being someone's poisoned the water hole.
So this is based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty fucking insane story and an insane character. She's supposed to be like this, like, kind of like unrefined
bootstrap mom.
Yeah, who like has no idea how to dress at all modestly. For some reason, her bra has to show.
In every cami top.
In every top she's wearing. The top of those cups got to peek out. It's a fashion choice, quite frankly.
She goes, if they're not showing, she goes, oh, shit. I don't want to look like an idiot. She like pulls
gotta
it down.
Gotta pull it down a little bit. I can't surprise these people by covering up the bra.
No. I can't show them that I'm truly... smart as a whip.
Exactly. But what I love about this character and what I love about Julia Roberts in this character is she's so fucking tough. She's not afraid to like really get in it and get what she wants and what she needs. And especially because she's supporting her family. So she's like a really like fierce like mama bear in this movie.
Oh, totally.
But she also owns her sexuality in a really unapologetic way. Which I think is really special, especially for Julia Roberts, because while she was a literal sex worker in Pretty Woman, mm-hmm. I don't think that movie was about her owning her sexuality.
Not at all.
But in this movie, it very much is. Oh, like, totally. Her sexuality is a really big part of this story because nobody sees her coming. Everyone underestimates her and thinks she's like cheap and a bimbo. Stupid. Exactly.
The perfect, I think, example of this is when she goes into like the waterboard like records shack, because that's the only thing you can fucking call it is a shack.
Yeah.
And she like uses her boobs essentially to like get water records from this guy from PG&E. So the guy being like, you can only really call him like a receptionist.
Yeah,
he's a just file like, clerk.
He's the front desk guy.
The water hole guy. The guy who manages the water hole.
Exactly.
He's the guy who has the records, and he's like kind of a like slimy dude. And she's like, okay, this is the only way that I'm going to get what I need in order to get these assholes. Because the whole point is that PG&E is leaking some contaminants into the water hole.
Yes.
And so she goes in to the guy and says, here are my boobs. Give me the files. And she makes the most hilarious joke to Albert Finney's character when he's like, how did you get these? What makes you think you can just walk in and get the files? She goes, they're called boobs. She didn't say it like that. But like, it's fucking funny because she says it very unapologetically. Yeah. She's like, excuse me, sir. I have two assets sitting right on my chest that can get me what I need.
Yeah. Like she takes, rather than hearing and seeing shitty assumptions that people make about her and taking them poorly, she sees them and goes, okay, I'm going to use it to my fucking advantage.
Exactly.
And turns the tables on them. And it's just really brilliant. And I love how she's able to do that and own her sexuality and also still remain like sincere and dedicated and have a lot of depth as a character. It's very hard to do all of those things all at one time.
I know, which really it's just a testament to Julia Roberts's abilities as an actor. Specifically with Erin Brockovich, I read up on her. She's quite the character.
Yeah, she's not a perfect lady.
No, not by any means. I think that the movie doesn't paint her as like a saint or as like a hero, really. I think it just paints her as someone who cares very deeply. Like, it seems that she feels very deeply and she gets very deeply attached, which is, according to Albert Finney's character, Ed, he thinks that that's a huge flaw of hers.
Yeah.
Is that she lets her emotions get the best of her. But in the end, it's kind of something that actually ends up helping them solve the case, or not solve the case, but like win the case.
Yeah.
Is the fact that she does get emotionally involved. She memorizes everyone's illnesses. She memorizes everyone's phone numbers, and she knows exactly like what every one of the families, the plaintiffs as they call them, what every one of their hopes and dreams are, and what they go through on a daily basis, and what their kids' names are, and how they're being affected, and what schools they go to. Like, she gets incredibly involved.
Yeah.
And Julia Roberts plays that so authentically. Like, there's the scene where the bigger law firm is assisting the smaller law firm, Ed Mastery's like smaller law firm, and she's kind of upset about it, obviously, because she thinks in her mind like, oh, they're taking over.
Yeah.
When, you know,
she's like, I did all the work.
You step back and you kind of look like, no, they're like, they're giving you money. But when you're that close in a situation, I can totally see how it probably feels like they're taking over.
Of course.
But one of the lawyers was like, okay, like, you know, we need to cover all this research that you haven't done, because like, you didn't know what to look for. And she just got very defensive, and she was like, what are you talking about? Like, I know what I was doing. And they were like, well, for starters, there are no phone numbers for any of these people. Like, where are they? We need to find them. We need to be able to contact them. And she immediately just starts like spewing out like different numbers for every like plaintiff that this lawyer kept like shouting at her, essentially, like from various files. So you can see her dedication in that moment, but you also see that she's incredibly impulsive in her emotions.
Yeah.
So it is both her detriment and her biggest asset, which is really hard to play sometimes. And I think that Julia Roberts did a fantastic job.
Yeah. I also like that this movie isn't afraid of showing Erin's flaws as a person, because like, I was going to point to that scene exactly where like, yes, it does ultimately benefit her to be emotionally involved, but also Albert Finney's character isn't afraid of going like, you can be emotionally involved, but you also should have fucking known to write down the phone numbers.
Not only that, like, but she was disrespectful to a woman yeah. who had gotten a law degree and was simply just asking her for information.
Yeah, Albert Finney, he's just like, just because she got a law degree doesn't mean that you can scream at her. Like, she went to school for this, and also just because she's dressing professionally, like, that doesn't mean that you're better than her either. In fact, it makes her more qualified. And like, the fact that you don't understand this part of the industry, this part of this business, like, that's what's holding you back from actual greatness and from people buying into you and understanding you.
Erin Brockovich's like whole MO, or like whole personality, is the fact that she owns so much being, I guess there's no better word than like white trash.
Yeah.
Like, she very much owns it. Mm-hmm. And to her, it's like, no one is better than me. Like, I have to hold myself to a really high standard because no one else will. Yeah. I am my only champion. Therefore, anyone who doubts me is my enemy.
Yeah.
Or like, anyone who thinks that they're better than me is my enemy. And so I think a lot of what Albert Finney was trying to say is like, no, no, no. Some people care as deeply as you do, and they feel as deeply as you do, but they don't necessarily do it in the way that you do. And I think that sometimes she antagonizes people mm-hmm. for being quote unquote like straight edge, or like following a very specific path, because her path was so deferred
yeah.
and so crazy, and where she ended up was kind of a miracle, and very like serendipitous, because she ended up being perfect for the job that she got,
yeah,
because of her dedication and because of all her flaws and all of her assets. But I think that a big part of what Albert Finney was saying was like, just because someone looks like what you antagonize doesn't mean that they are not on your team. Like, yeah. everyone here is trying to accomplish the same goal, mm-hmm. which is very difficult for this woman to understand. And so as the audience member, I found myself really frustrated with Erin sometimes.
Yeah.
When she was constantly like yelling, because Julia Roberts yells so much in this film.
There's so much screaming.
So much yelling from Julia Roberts. And sometimes I found myself being very frustrated, like, let people help you.
Yes. Like, please. This is a woman who's used to doing fucking everything herself. Mm-hmm. And you're just sitting there, like, you want to shake her and be like, let someone help you. Is it so fucking hard to wear a t-shirt that isn't that low cut? Like, please, could you do anything to help get these people on your side so you can make quicker progress?
Exactly.
It's very, very frustrating, but I love movies like that. I love where I get frustrated with the main character, who's supposed to be someone good, who you're supposed to be on their side. But I think it was so smart for the audience to be as frustrated with her as the people working with her.
Absolutely. And I think to your point about like, wouldn't it just be easier for you to wear like a less low cut top?
Yeah.
You know, what's so funny is, I mean, obviously you and I are very modern. Any woman can wear whatever she pleases.
Yeah, absolutely.
And really she could have worn whatever low cut top she wanted. But I don't think the point is the fact that she wore whether or not she was wearing a low cut top. It's the fact that she refused to mold herself to the world that she was in,
yes.
even if it meant that it could benefit not only her and her children, but the people she was working with and yeah. the people she was protecting, like the people that she, her clients, like, it didn't matter, because she was like, I'm going to stand my ground and I'm going to be who I am, even if it means that this is going to be harder for me, which is something to greatly admire. But you're also sitting there like, if you just wore a button up shirt, like, everyone would be off your ass and yeah. you would find yourself in a much easier work environment.
It is admirable in a way, but I do get really annoyed with people who I'm just like, no one's asking you to compromise your identity by coming to work, like, looking and acting appropriately. Like, I personally don't think that that's a compromising no. situation to be put in. So it's very, very frustrating when you're just like, could you please just do this one fucking thing that truly isn't very much of an inconvenience mm-hmm. so that everyone's lives could be easier?
Absolutely. And I think it's not, again, it's not just the clothes, but it's like the way that she acts.
No, it's not just the clothes.
And it's like she's constantly yelling at everyone.
She's screaming and being so mad when she's not in every single meeting, when at the mm-hmm. end of the day, you're not a lawyer. You're a clerk. You're a law clerk. You're pretty much in charge of files. And I know you've done all the fucking work, but sorry, you're not going to get looped into every single meeting because you simply do not have the qualifications. Yes.
The amount of times that Albert Kinney has what I like to call like a mini speech, or like a mini monologue, where he goes, bitch, sit the fuck down, like relax. Yes. Like he constantly expresses to her how grateful he is mm-hmm. for her research and her dedication. But at the end of the day, he's like, listen, like there are people who are much more qualified than you that are trying to do their jobs and you're making it really hard, mm-hmm. girl. Like you just need to chill the fuck out. We're all working together. I think a big part of it is like her trust issues.
Yes.
She really cannot, she's not a team player and that's the problem. She's like a shining star and she is, it's impossible for her to work in a team. Even her own boss, she treats him like shit. Like she's always yelling at him.
Yeah.
She's always angry with him, and I both love and hate that, because I know in my life, if I was that mean to my boss, I would get fired.
Yes.
Like constantly. It's so funny because she, you know, in one of the beginning scenes, when she first gets her job and she like first, you know, takes notice of this whole PG&E mm-hmm. thing, she just takes off for a week.
Yeah, and she's just like, I'm working, and but it's she didn't so tell funny, anybody.
But she didn't tell anyone. She just, and it's I'm laughing because I'm both joyous about it. Like yeah. I both enjoy it and I also hate it. It's so. Yes. It's great because it makes for a very exciting character.
Yeah.
You're both frustrated with her and like, oh, she's got balls. Like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But you're
no.
also like, bitch, go to work.
You
call
admire
someone.
Her, but you're like, if you had just done everything exact the same way you did it, but also like called your work first.
And checked in.
Like, it's so many like little things, but it does make for such an exciting performance, a really exciting movie about like a somewhat droll topic of water poisoning.
Someone poisoned the water hole.
But it helps that like you buy into it a little bit more because of like, it just like, it gets to you at your heart because there's people
Totes.
Dying.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's the element that like Aaron brings to the lawsuit is like, it's not just about like the numbers or about the settlement.
It's about the people.
It's about the people.
And like the people not having anyone to fight for them. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why she makes it personal, and Julia Roberts does a brilliant job of like making this very apparent in her mm-hmm. character, and both very apparent and subtle at a lot of points in the film, which I love, but making it so that it's almost like a reflection of her own life.
Yeah.
Like she's fighting for these people because no one ever fought for her. She yeah. always just had to fight for herself and she knows what that feels like.
Exactly.
So she's not leaving these people on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that. And you can see Julia Roberts, she acts like with her eyes a lot. And I think that's her and Ryan Gosling, man. BFFs in like
it's all in the eyes.
But she just does a lot. She does a lot for the people around her, and you yeah. can see her eyes kind of like give away a lot of like her hope and her admiration for these people,
mm-hmm.
Because she has such a like tough exterior.
Yeah.
So it's a cool like juxtaposition. It's fun to see like sparkling eyes and like her like fists in like her little hands and like tiny fists.
No, totally. So, while she's also standing on like huge heels.
On like literally 6-inch like stripper heels. It's crazy.
I think this is such a special role and Oscar well deserved.
Oh, totes.
You know, it's a really good movie. Whether or not you like love Erin Brockovich for who she actually is today in real life.
She's an interesting character.
She's an interesting lady. I mean, she's done a lot of good work, but she also like isn't perfect, which this movie told you she's not.
Oh yeah, so, this movie did its job.
I don't know why anyone's surprised. So that was Erin Brockovich.
That was Erin Brockovich. Star of who is poisoning the watering hole. The last finale Botticci movie. The words of the Italiano Napoleono.
Oh boy.
It is a eat a pray a love.
Si,
prego. I don't know. All I know is like Julie Roberts speaks a lot of Italian in this film.
She does. She picks it up real quick.
Eat, Pray, Love came out in 2010, exactly 10 years after.
Yeah, so you're really getting a special
10, 10, 10.
Of someone's career. It's just from like truly the very beginning, the very middle. And I mean, it's not the end. It's because it's 2020. It's another 10 years after. But
ooh.
She hasn't done anything huge lately. Yeah. So,
But Eat, Pray, Love came out in 2010, directed by Ryan Murphy.
LOL.
Screenplay by Ryan Murphy and Jennifer Salt, based on the book Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert. Yes. Liz Gilbert, played by Julia Roberts, thought she had everything she wanted in life, a home, a husband, and a successful career. Now newly divorced and facing a turning point, she finds that she is confused about what is important to her. Daring to step out of a comfort zone, Liz embarks on a quest of self-discovery that takes her to Italy, India, and Bali.
Yes. This movie's probably going to be the one where we have the most, like, conflicting opinions. Because, so Ryan Murphy wrote and directed this movie. I don't know if you guys like Ryan Murphy. I have mixed feelings about him. But I think that this movie had such an opportunity, because the story is very real. It's very deep. It's Elizabeth Gilbert just, like, writing her memoir. But it had an opportunity to be a little bit more sophisticated and filmy. And then it got the Ryan Murphy touch, where everything is very bright and cheery. And
well, all he did was add in, like, three Dutch angles and called it a day.
Yeah.
That's really what happened.
I really think that it could have been a bit more raw, because her emotions are very extreme and very sad in a lot of ways. And she goes through a huge period of self-discovery in this movie. But it just kind of, it was almost like Disney-fied in a way.
A big thing that I will say about this film is Julia Roberts carried this film on her fucking back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, like, what a treat to see how she has aged and
so beautifully
learned as both a person and an actress, and see how confident she is in herself. Like, seeing this juxtaposed with her in Pretty Woman, like, all of her nerves as a performance are
gone.
As a performer are totally gone. She's so sure of herself. And that's so great, especially because this character, I think, of the three is the one who's the least sure of herself.
Oh, completely.
So it's so nice to see her as a really, like, truly confident woman and actress playing this role. I think the role is really lovely, and she is really lovely in this movie. The movie as a whole, questionable.
The movie is a separate enchilada on the plate, on the dinner plate. So beyond the movie, which is... I would not call it a good movie, and no. I would not call it a bad movie.
No, even though it has some, like, really incredible people in this movie.
Once again, I would not call it a good movie, and I would not call it a bad movie, which sure. I think is even worse than being a bad movie.
Yeah, it's that really, means it's really a mediocre. Fine movie.
But regardless, Julia Roberts was the most incredible pick for this character, mm-hmm. because she's so charismatic and her range is incredible. Like, what she brought to each, because a lot of this movie is just a roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah.
And the emotion and the depth and the questioning that she brought to the role was so rich and so vibrant and so fun and so heartbreaking that, you know, you can't take your eyes off of her the entire film.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic because she's the leading lady. But really, like, you find yourself using her as an excuse to say the film was good, when really, like, yeah. Julia Roberts just fucking shone. Mm-hmm. She truly was like a diamond in the pile of dog shit.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, you get little glimpses of good performance. Like, Billy Crudup is really good in this movie.
I know, he's good.
Not in it for very long, but he's really good. I think his reaction to their divorce is, like, one of the most unique divorce reactions I've ever seen in a movie.
100%.
Where he's literally just like, I'm representing myself.
And my client is just simply not interested in a divorce. Can you imagine, like, trying to divorce someone and they're like, my client is just simply not interested.
And my client is me. So
what the fuck do you have to say about that?
Because he's just like, he's so mad, but he's also so sad. Like, when she sees him in the elevator afterwards, he's just fucking
crying.
Sad. And you can tell that she is also so sad and so sorry that she had this realization that she couldn't be what other people wanted her to be.
Well, the problem, a huge problem in this film is dishonesty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her character is an incredibly dishonest human being, like, going through life living very dishonestly,
yeah.
like, not authentically herself. And that is such a detriment to the people around her,
yeah.
because they do not get to experience her authentic self. And not only that, but she's consistently lying to them.
Yeah.
In not necessarily directly, but in her actions or her inactions.
Like about her identity.
Exactly. About her identity, who she is, what she wants. They keep thinking, oh no, she loves me, or she enjoys my presence, or this is who she is, or these are the things that she dreams of. This is what she wants. Like, I think it's her editor, her publisher, mm-hmm. Who's her best friend, played by Viola Davis. Brilliantly, by the way. She's so good. But she's like, do you remember when you like threw yourself in your kitchen renovation and like pretended that that was like your dream? Like, she's a fake human being walking around a real world. And it's really difficult for me to see someone go through that because it's so unbelievably heartbreaking. It's sad to watch someone live so inauthentically and then expect the people around her to be okay when she says, I need to find myself. Because I think that was a big part of it, is she was like, I'm going to expect everyone around me to succumb to like who I want to be, and everyone's going to just have to accept it. But I think a big part of what the movie showed, especially with Billy's character, was his face. What's his name? He has like a very generic name.
Oh, her husband's actual name? I think it's like Michael or Steven.
Some generic name. But it shows in his inability like to like accept it, because to him it's coming out of nowhere. Yeah. To everyone it's coming out of nowhere. Because she, this entire time, she's just been living so dishonestly.
Yeah. Like, and it's especially hard because it's like, that's not a problem. There's a formula to get out of.
Nobody
can tell you how to figure out who the fuck you are. You can't tell yourself that, which is why she makes this decision to just go on this trip and like do things she thinks she'll enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Which is so funny, because a lot of what this movie is, first of all, we were hanging out in these places for far too long. Ryan, this movie is too long.
Edit, Ryan.
Ryan, get it together.
It truly feels like we were spending 3 months in each country.
It truly feels like a year had gone by. But she's just spending all this time in all of these different places, experiencing their like quote unquote culture, and not necessarily knowing what she's looking for. And then at the end, like, you know, specifically at the end of her trip to Italy, she's so sad. Like, yeah. She makes, you know, she meets a bunch of Italian people, mm-hmm. or people in Italy, and they get together for like her final Thanksgiving meal, because she leaves around the month of November.
Yeah, so she gives them an American Thanksgiving.
And so she gives them an American Thanksgiving, which I find so funny. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, what's everyone grateful for? And everyone's like saying stuff. And she's like, oh, I'm grateful for you guys. I'm the luckiest girl in the world. But, you know, the camera sort of like stays on her, and she's fucking sad. And you can tell it's not that she's sad that she's leaving. She's sad because she came there and she probably feels like she didn't find anything.
Well, I think that is one thing that the movie does well, and it's probably primarily due to Julia's performance, is that it shows that there is a lot of fear and sadness that goes with growth and change.
Right.
Like, you can be making progress and be fucking terrified and hating it the entire time.
Right.
Like, and that's really scary, because I feel like when you're young and you're taught about like growth and becoming mm-hmm. who you are, and about it being a really positive experience, a lot of times it fucking sucks.
Right.
Like, figuring out what you actually want is not a fun time. And I think that like the first time you actually see positive change in her is when she's in India and she's on the roof, and it's right after she was talking to Richard Jenkins.
Right.
And she flashes back to her wedding with Billy Crudup and their first dance. And she's like, it's where like the flashback meets reality, and she's dancing on the rooftop mm-hmm. as if it's real life. And it's that fucking song, the Harvest Moon song. You know that song?
It is Neil Young. I thought it was Neil Diamond.
No, it's not Neil Diamond. Okay, so it's Harvest Moon by Neil Young. And so they're dancing, and she's basically having a conversation as her current self, but with Billy Crudup, even though he's not really there, talking about their relationship. And you can see that finally she has gotten to a point where she can reflect on these things, be sad, but kind of like honor the love, honor the loss, and take that loss as a positive, as a move in a positive direction.
Right.
Which she's never been able to do before. She's never been able to think back on those things and come out of it in a more positive mindset. And I think that moment is really beautiful. Like, that was a really good filmmaking moment for me.
What?
In this movie, which was kind of crazy. But then you kind of transition into other, like, even after that, when she goes to Bali, and you're like, part of this just feels kind of shallow and empty. Like, I don't know what growth she's actually doing.
Especially when she ends up with that Brazilian guy.
See, it's Javier Bardem, right?
Yeah. But he's Brazilian in this movie.
See.
Not Brazilian in real life.
No.
But Brazilian in this movie.
Yes.
And yeah, so she ends up with this guy, which I find... I'm sorry if this is actually in the book, which is totally fine if it mm-hmm. is, if this is like the real story. But in the film, it feels very like counterproductive to the whole point of why she left.
Yeah, it's they have that like fight on the beach.
Right.
Where she's like, he's like, I love you. Why can't you say it back? And right. she's like, I don't know why. Which I think was the moment of like breakthrough for her.
Absolutely.
Where she's like, I recognize I feel these feelings, but I can't fucking say it. Mm-hmm. Like, am I broken as a person that I can't be emotionally vulnerable with somebody?
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that she would take that and then be like, I need to continue growing.
Right.
And then leave. But then she ends up staying with him. And in real life, I don't know if that ending is exactly how it happened, but they did stay together. They got married for his citizenship, I believe, or not like just for that. They were in love and then they got married, but he also like needed to get a green card, I think. And but then they ended up getting a divorce.
Well, duh. Because she wasn't through.
Yeah, I think that this movie could have done a better job of showing Liz Gilbert's flaws, but instead, we're like, okay, so like in Erin Brockovich, where it was very clear, like, this person is a flawed person.
Right.
But we're still going to tell the story and show her in a mostly favorable light. This movie kind of just glorified her flaws.
Absolutely.
Which is, I think that's the problem that I had with it. If it had been more honest, I would have liked it a lot more.
Absolutely. I guess that's my biggest problem with it, is it doesn't feel like a very authentic
mm-hmm.
film. The only authentic thing in the film really was Julia Roberts' performance and her relationships with the characters, with the actors around her playing the
yeah.
characters around her. Because obviously fucking Viola Davis is superb.
Mm-hmm.
What's his face? Billy Crudup is superb.
Yes.
What's his other face?
Richard Jenkins.
Oh my God.
He's so
Richard
good.
Jenkins, of all the men in this film, of all the male characters yeah. in this film, Richard Jenkins is, in my opinion, the only like admirable one.
Well, especially because he kind of puts her in her place.
Absolutely.
He's like, I went through actual trauma. Mm. I nearly killed my own child because of my addiction. You just are having like a conflict of identity and you want to fucking come up in here and tell me how hard it is to be meditating every day? Fuck off.
Like, learn your shit. Like, come here, do like study what you need to and then get out.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Learn to forgive yourself and leave. Like, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, you're not here to like, because she has this line, which I think is just so stupid. And Julia Roberts delivers it so perfectly, because you can tell that Julia Roberts, the actor, and both Julia Roberts, the actor, and like Liz, the character, both feel yeah. very exasperated at the fact that they even had this thought. But she's standing in the hallway with Richard Jenkins' character, who's from Texas. And she's talking to him, and she's kind of yelling at him, being like, I don't, you know, all I could think about while I was meditating was how to decorate my meditation room back at home. And he was like, bitch, like, that is so counterproductive to what yeah. you're supposed to actually be learning in here, which is how to forgive yourself and like how to love and like how to go through life feeling balanced and not like you're gonna lose your shit every second of the day. How on God's green earth is what color you're gonna paint your meditation room? Like, what does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, and Javier Bardem also kind of brings it back in a more backwards way later, where he's like, if you're not actually improving, you fucking doing your 15-minute meditation every day isn't going to do shit.
Right.
Like, if you're not actually making the steps in real life to make these changes a reality, you like to think you're going through the motions, but that's literally all you're doing is going through the motions.
Absolutely. Or my biggest problem is she kept saying, like, I'm going to change. Like, this is what's going to happen. Like, I am going to find balance, and I'm going to find, like, I guess, like, enlightenment, or I'm going to find myself.
Mm-hmm.
And her actions were always counterproductive to what the words that were coming out of her mouth, which personally is, like, one of the most irritating things ever, is watching a character go against what they keep saying that they're going to do and, like, essentially yeah. not keeping their word. Whether or not it was because it was difficult for her as a character, like, hard for her to sort of, like, break through that.
Yeah.
Or if it was just because of, like, stubbornness in general.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it was frustrating as an audience member to watch that and like watch it happen. While that's relatable because humans are dumb and they make mistakes, mm-hmm. and it's really hard for them to grow and change, it was still very, very frustrating. And I think that I both liked and disliked that very similarly to how I liked and disliked being frustrated with Erin Brockovich.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think really at the end of the day, it's just like it's a good performance. She's really lovely in it, but it is a pretty flawed film.
Absolutely dootly.
You know?
Absolutely dootly, lady.
Like a lot of Ryan Murphy's work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except for Pose, because he doesn't really get to touch that. Just Janet Mock touches that. That's
exactly.
Which means that it's a perfect show. It's, I mean, got also, a Ryan Murphy budget, and it has no Ryan Murphy.
Say what you want. Early Glee was pretty good.
Okay, I'm not going to say what I want. I'm going to say what I need to say. Say what you need to say. I'm going to say publicly, Glee was a good show.
Glee was a good show until they went to college.
I know, until they went to college. And then it was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
But Glee, for all you guys listening out there, it was a good show. I don't give a fuck what you say. Not only that, but they butchered a pop song.
Ryan Murphy episode now.
Every episode. They butchered a pop song every episode, and you expected it. When
and
I
you
think
loved
of Don't
it.
When
and
I think
you
of
loved it.
When I think of Don't Stop Believing, I don't think of the Journey song Don't Stop Believing. I think of da 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 da. Just a small town girl. Living in a lonely world. Mr. Shoe. That's what I think
a
about.
A really great show where
it made its mark on society.
There's 100% a curse on
Listen,
the cast of that
show. Listen, in 2010, no one was doing that.
No.
In 2010, no one was talking about like the closeted gay kid who wanted to be out. No one was talking about the girl who had two big dreams and a really big nose and was really fucking annoying. No one was talking about any of this shit. Like, no one was talking about the things that went on in high school that were really fucked up and the thing and like the thoughts that kids were having at the time. No one was talking about it. We were just watching like The Secret Life of the American Teenager and pretending that that's and pretending that that's what like everyone went through.
See, Ryan Murphy can make one good thing, but the rest
questionable.
But Julia Roberts though,
stellar.
We love her.
Tasty.
That's Julia, baby.
That was Julia.
So, Monica.
Jeez.
What have you dabbled in?
I have dabbled in the Christmas spirit.
Yay!
There are these cookies that I really, 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 really want to make that I sent you that you said were really labor intensive, but I still want
to
make them.
I mean, did you see how long it took her to make one fucking cookie?
I really don't care.
Okay. I mean, we can make them.
They're stars.
You got to help, though.
But they're Santa.
Santa stars.
Santa stars. The star of Christmas. Mr. Santa Claus.
Mr. Santa Claus.
But yeah, I really want to make cookies. I really want to make the stars. I really want them to have Santa heads.
Wonderful.
What have you dabbled in?
I've been baking lately and I brought you some brownies that were,
they were disgusting.
They were not good. It makes me sad. It's not my fault. Let me say this.
I literally just had one, by the way, like right before we started recording and I literally blame it for me just like hiccuping through all of these descriptions because it was so salty. It was so chocolatey for no reason.
Like this recipe, I followed it to a fucking T, man.
To a T-shirt.
And it wasn't like, it wasn't in the execution, that is not what the problem was. It was like the literal ingredients.
It was an exorcism.
I weighed all of the ingredients, which is like the most accurate way that you can do a recipe is by weighing your ingredients instead of just like scooping them.
I guess so.
Because like it's one thing to say like 1 teaspoon of salt because every teaspoon is slightly different.
Really? I don't know that that's true.
It is true.
Okay.
Especially because when you scoop it, you might not scoop it totally level, so it's easier to just weigh things out.
Interesting.
And so I weighed everything fucking exactly, and these brownies, they're salty.
They're dense.
And they're too fudgy. The baking time is not correct. I don't agree with this recipe.
Come on, Claire Saffitz. Get it together.
Yeah, this was a Claire Saffitz recipe from her new book, Just Desserts.
Which, we love Claire Saffitz.
Love her. The book looks amazing. I've been flipping through it and wanting to make so many recipes. And so last night I was like, fuck it, I'm going to make the brownies. Not a fan.
No. Stay tuned for more recipes that she tries out. And we'll see if the other ones are good.
every week. I'll do a Julie and Julia, but with Claire Saffitz's book.
Oh my God, you totally should start a blog on what was it like? Blog press?
Something like that.
Something like that. Blogosphere. Blogarati. Blogarazzi.
Blogarati. Yeah, so that's what I've been dabbling in, is baking poorly.
Oh.
Monica, we have a question.
Oh, from listener.
From a listener. They did not put their name. Bad listener.
You guys need to start putting your names on these things. How are we supposed to shout you out?
I know, seriously. So, what is a movie that you know is bad, but you love anyway?
It's another Gary Marshall film. What? And it's terrible.
Tell me.
It's called New Year's Eve. And it's a, it is a, I'm the first to admit that it is a bad movie.
Okay.
But I love it anyway.
Okay. What do you love about it?
It's just fun. Okay. It's just fun. I just pop it on. It's like the only movie I can watch on New Year's Eve.
My bad movie that I love is similar to yours. Mm-hmm. It's He's Just Not That Into You.
Which, another incredible film.
I wouldn't say it's explicitly a horrible movie.
It's just bad. I would say it's bad.
Like, it's not, it doesn't offer anything. It does not contribute to society in any way.
Not in any way. Just like New Year's Eve doesn't contribute to jack shit.
It's a good fucking time, that movie.
Oh, it is a good time.
And I never thought I would like a love story where Justin Long is like the male lead,
which is so bizarre. it was just an accident. It was a dumpster fire waiting to happen, that movie.
Yeah, but wow, what a fun time.
But it is so fun.
I love those movies, similarly to like Love Actually, similarly to New Year's Eve and Valentine's Day, where mm-hmm. it's a bunch of fucking stories that intertwine.
Oh yeah, some of the best trashy rom-coms are
with
that.
A lot of good actors 99% mm-hmm. of the time. Like fucking Bradley Cooper is in He's Just Not That Into You.
Oh yeah, he is. You know that movie, what's the movie called, What to Expect When You're Expecting?
Yes.
Cameron Diaz is in it.
J-Lo's
in it. What's his face is in it.
Him.
No. Melissa McCarthy's husband. What's his name?
I don't know his
name.
He's
super famous.
Ben?
Ben Falcone.
Ben Falcone.
I knew his name was Ben.
Ben Falcone's in it. Chris Rock's in it. Elizabeth Banks is in it, if I haven't said that already.
Isn't like James Marsden in that movie or something? Does he play Cameron Diaz's like boyfriend or something?
No, it's Matthew Morrison.
Oh, it's Matthew Morrison.
Who's about to play the Grinch, which is just not happening.
Okay, I saw those previews on Thanksgiving and I said, this is the worst thing to happen in 2020 by far. Fuck the pandemic. Matthew Morrison as the Grinch? Are you kidding me?
And I said, Mr. Shu, stop. Mr. Shu, that's enough.
That's what Ryan Murphy will do to your career. I'm kidding. So many of his actors are
fine. Unless you're Emma
Roberts.
Unless you're Emma Roberts, and then we wish you a very happy pregnancy.
Yes. I mean, unless you're a lot of people. 99% of the actors he works
Sarah
with
Paulson.
Are still doing just fine. Matthew Morrison, not so much.
Not so much. Which is so sad because, I mean, okay, this is a massive sidebar, but can you imagine being an actor and you like get a gig and you're really excited about it and you pour your heart and soul into it, and mm-hmm. yes, it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
But you like really go for it. Like you give it your all.
Yeah.
You're like, it's all or nothing. And then the entire world is like, this is terrible. Like the entire world looks at you and goes, this is a freak of nature.
No, I can't imagine that. However, what I will say is that if you were a genuinely good actor, you would be able to pull out of it. And Matthew Morrison, unfortunately,
I don't like what he did with his chin and his lips.
He wasn't the best part of Glee.
That's very true.
This episode has had too much Ryan Murphy discussion, but I'm standing by it. It's important.
Well, your case has been made. The jury will convene. I don't know what like court jargon is, but I know that the judge will be making
convicted.
the gavel.
The judge is gonna make the gavel.
The conviction's gonna be at the bench. And the
where's
and
the jury?
The witness stand is gonna go to the holding room. And members of the court, the jury, the audience. This person has been conflicted. And everyone's gonna go to the bench. Proceed to the gavel.
Good night. This is the People's Court.
This is the People's Choice Awards.
This is the People's Court about the world versus Ryan Murphy.
Anyway, that was Julia Roberts.
That was Julia Roberts. We love her.
We love you.
We love you. As always,
don't sue us, Daddy Favreau. Goodbye.
Goodbye.